Good morning, Central, Central family, friends, extended family. Those of you that are visiting with us online, we welcome you all and hope that you're having a grand frosty morning. It's warm in here, though, and that's great. That is great. Welcome to all to our worship. In this world where change is constant, I find this verse in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, comforting. I hope you feel the same way. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Brother Josh.
Well, let's stand as we sing. This one will be on the overhead only. How great is our God?
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all your
sing number 544, 544, Without Him.
Without Him I could not be. Without Him I surely fail.
Following this song, we'll have our opening prayer. We'll sing Still.
Father, we thank thee for the health that we have, that we're able to be here this morning and sing praises to thee and worship thy word. We pray, Heavenly Father, the things that were taught in the class this morning is according to thy will. We pray, Heavenly Father, you'll be with Tim as he brings us the lesson, and that the things that he says we can bring into our heart and practice them daily. Be with those, Heavenly Father, that are unable to be here this morning because of their health that they have going on. We know that there are trials and tribulations that they're going through. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you can bless them, and those that are treating them and the procedures and processes they're going through will be beneficial for their health. Be with those, Heavenly Father, that have struggles that are not physical but are more spiritual or mental, and pray that they can receive guidance and clarity and understand the things that can be done and said that would be beneficial to them. Heavenly Father, be with us the remainder of the service. We pray that you be with those that are traveling through this time of year, this holiday season, that you will be with them and give them safety and watch over them. Be with us, Heavenly Father, and we thank you for your Son who came to this earth, who taught us ways that we can praise thee and uplift thee and be kind and considerate to others. Watch over us, Heavenly Father, and we pray that you forgive us of our sins. And it's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Following the lesson this morning, the song of encouragement will be number 947. If you're using a hymn book, please mark number 947 as our song of encouragement. And once you have that marked, we're going to sing number 144 before our scripture reading and lesson. Number 144. If it's convenient for you, let's stand as we sing once more.
Worship the King of Glory, the Son, and gratefully sing His wonderful love, our shield and
morning. At this time, we do have a children's church that is at the back. So if you have smaller children and would like to take them, now is the time to do so. The scripture reading for today is Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7. Isaiah 9, verses 2 through 7, and I will be reading from the English Standard Version. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. The throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
What a blessing to be able to gather together in a warm building. Do I hear an amen on that one? It is cold outside, but warm in here, and warm fellowship-wise. You are a blessing to us. We're so thankful that you are here with us today. All of you regulars, we're glad you're here with us, and all visitors, especially glad that you've come our way. And if you're visiting with us, let us meet you before you get away. We'd love to say hi and get acquainted briefly. And if we can help you in any way, we'd love to do that. Again, welcome to all of you online. We're very thankful that you're joining us as well. But it is good to come together and worship the Lord. He's been so good to us. We want to at least say thank you and, Lord, teach us your ways. I've been asked to read a note, a short note that someone has submitted. This is in response to the Shining Light Project that concluded last Sunday. That was an effort to help about 54 children in our area who live in families that are very struggling financially. And you came through in a huge way. And it was such a joy to see the families come and receive the gifts. But this note was given to us by Keegan and Sarah, and they asked that we read this. Thank you so much for the gifts. It truly warms our hearts. You guys could help us and give Apollo a great Christmas. Also, thank you for everything you all do to help at the DRC. He has been through the program there at the Day Reporting Center. He says, you guys have been a true shining light. And that, again, is from Keegan and Sarah. And they say, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And Apollo sends his handprint. So if you want to see that, come and see me later. I've also been asked to have a prayer for two or three that have asked for prayers. One is someone who was supposed to have had surgery tomorrow. They don't wish to be named, but the surgery was canceled for tomorrow for reasons outside the control of this person, and they ask that we pray that it can be rescheduled soon. Also, we have received a request for prayers for a friend of Chastity Cleghorn, who is a lady that is incarcerated at Unicoi County Jail. I was just over there this morning speaking to the ladies there, and Chastity was with us in worship, and she said this friend, her mother and father both were killed in a house fire in Georgia. And so we want to pray for Chastity. And also, this morning I met two fellows from Dyersburg, Tennessee, both of them Nichols. And their son, the son of one of them, Jonathan Nichols, we have known. He's been a member here at Central in the past. His newborn son, about a month old, is at Nyswanger Children's Hospital with E. coli and spinal meningitis. And so we want to pray for Jonas Nichols and pray that God is with him in a very powerful way. So let's bow together and go to God in prayer. Lord, you are wonderful and great. We praise you, Father, for so many reasons. We praise you especially because of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and lived among us, who lived a perfect life, and then surrendered his body, gave it for our sanctification, our forgiveness. And Father, we're just so thankful for Jesus and for the benefits of being in him. May we always walk in the steps of your Son. And Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer and for the ability to pray for one another. We pray, Lord, for this person that has had surgery canceled for tomorrow. We pray that it will soon be rescheduled and that they'll not have to miss too much work as a result of it. Father, just bless this person and all the events connected with this surgery. We also pray, Lord, that you'll be with the friend of Chastity. We pray that you will bless this friend and the grief that they are going through right now, having lost both parents in such a tragic way. Please, Father, bless this friend with comfort and peace. And we pray for little Jonas Nichols. We pray, Father, that he will be given strength and healing, that those who are attending to him will have knowledge and skill, and that he'll soon be through the woods and again growing and thriving as a young child should. Father, you're so good to us. We pray you'll hear our prayers and be with us now as we worship you and learn from you. Bless us, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite you to come back and join us this evening at 6 o'clock. I'll be giving a lesson at that time called Walking in the King's Footsteps. And I really hope you'll come and join us for that lesson and worship God with us together again. And I know many of you are going to be leaving town soon, as I will be in a couple of days. We're praying for safe travel for everybody and that you enjoy the holiday season very much. It's a good time to be with family and friends, and hope you have a very good time. Now get your Bible out. Let's get into the Word of God and learn things that will help us grow and learn things about God that make us appreciate him even more. I'll begin telling you about the moment that came on a late Monday in October several years ago in Madison, Wisconsin. And this was our first child. They had been inducing Joyce for, this is the fourth day they had tried to induce labor. And they said, if it doesn't happen today, then tomorrow there's a C-section. And so we were really praying that this would happen. And then finally on this Monday, then Nathan was born to us. It was a day much anticipated, and we rejoiced in it and have continued to rejoice and be blessed by him, as we have by our other two children that came along after him. And by the way, that's not a picture of him, but we'd be proud to have that child as well. But that birth, and most births, are occasions of rejoicing. But the one we heard about, read just a few minutes ago, in Isaiah chapter 9, that's the most momentous of all. The most momentous birth of all. And let's look at it again. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, a prophecy made by Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. For a long time, people wondered, what is this talking about? Certainly, it's talking about a child that will be born, a son, but the names that are given to this child and the circumstances, a kingly kind of person. And is this really going to happen? Well, you know it's going to happen because he closed that passage by saying, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will make sure. God will make it happen. And of course, it's pointing to the birth of Jesus Christ, an event that much of the world is celebrating this week. Much of the world is saying what a great event it is and was. And we're thankful that much of the world still is thinking about Jesus. But I wonder, does the world know who this son really is? Do we know who this son really is? Because we're not just talking about the son of whoever the mother or father would be, and they didn't know that at the time. But now we know. And we know him, in fact, in three different ways, all of them very important. We know him as the son of David. We know him as the son of God. We know him as the son of man. And all of those ideas are so important to us. Let's take a few moments and think about those three names that are given to Jesus. Let's talk about that. First of all, to us, the son of David is given. To us, the son of David is given. Listen again to verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 9. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So there we learn that whoever this child would be, he's going to be on the throne of David. That means a descendant of David, someone in the kingly line. And so that is what they expected. And David, of course, was the greatest of all the kings of Israel. I think there's really no real argument about that. He had his mistakes, of course. But David was such a good man, a man after God's own heart, the only one in the Bible to be described in those terms. But David, would he be the deliverer? Is he the one that this was talking about? Of course, this happens much later, after the life of David. But it's Jesus. That's what we learn about this passage. Jesus is the one that fulfilled this prophecy of the son of David. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. And there we find God speaking to David about a covenant he's making with David. David had said, I want to build a house for God. And Nathan the prophet said, go for it. And then God appeared to Nathan and said, go and tell him, no, you're not the one that's going to build that temple. That will be his son that will do that. But I will do this for David. Listen to what God says in 2 Samuel 7, beginning in verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, up until that last word, you might have thought, well, he's talking about Solomon. Of course, Solomon was already born by this time, but David may have been thinking, well, he's talking about Solomon, but Solomon died. His kingdom did not endure forever, and there would come an end to the Davidic line of kings in Israel. This is talking about something much more significant, far more significant. It's talking about Jesus. You go to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, and here we find wise men, the Magi, who have traveled a long distance after Jesus is born. In fact, Matthew begins his gospel in Matthew chapter 1 by tracing the lineage of Jesus. And guess what? He is in the line of David. He is a descendant of King David. Well, these wise men have traveled all this distance, and they want to see somebody. And who is it? It says in Matthew 2 and verse 2, they ask, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. They recognize what many did not. This child is the son of David. He's going to be the King of the Jews, a fact which caused Herod much consternation. But you see, that's who it's talking about. Jesus is that son of David that God had prophesied would be on the throne forever. Jesus is the one. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, we read about one of the miracles of Jesus. And here's what we find there. Matthew 12, 22 and 23. Then a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him, so that the man spoke and saw. Now listen to the reaction of the people nearby. All the people were amazed, and they said, "Can this be the son of David? Can this be the son of David?" By this time, son of David had come to mean the Messiah. And we're seeing some pretty amazing things out of Jesus, things we've never seen before. He's proving he is from God. Could he be the Messiah, the son of David? And so their hopes are built. This may be the deliverer. And then in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 9, you remember the occasion of Jesus entering the city on a donkey. Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. We call it the triumphal entry. And here's what Matthew tells us about that event. The crowds that went before him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Hosanna is a word that means save, Lord. They recognize this is someone that may save us. They're probably thinking, save us nationally. They're going to run the Romans out of our country. They're going to restore to us the nation of Israel. That's probably what they're thinking. But they say, you have to be the Messiah. That's who we're claiming you to be. And indeed, that's who Jesus is. Jesus came to this earth as the Son of David. To us, a child will be born. To us, a son is given. And that speaks to us as well. To us, the Son of David will be given. As we look upon that newborn child in the manger, is there anything to indicate just by looking at this baby, this is the Son of David? Just hold on. And he'll show you in his life that is indeed who he is. But let's look at the second idea, and that is, to us, the Son of God is given. To us, the Son of God is given. Now again, go back to Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll see indications of this. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, and it says again, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Those are very unusual names to give to a child that has just been born. In fact, most Jews would never have thought of giving a name like that. They would say that is blasphemy to give a name like Mighty God to a child. That's blasphemy. And Everlasting Father, they might also consider that approaching blasphemy. And yet this is the name that will be given to this child, to this son given to us. Again, clearly we're talking about Jesus. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, Mary is approached by an angel. Mary is told, "You're going to have a child," and she says, "How can this be? I've never known a man physically. How could that possibly happen?" And she's told how it will happen by the Holy Spirit coming upon her. But listen to what the angel says in verse 35. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." The child that you're going to have, Mary, is going to be called the Son of God. Well, naturally, if the Holy Spirit is the one who conceives the child, that makes sense. No other child in human history can say that. That's only applicable to Jesus. And only he, in that sense, can be called the Son of God. But isn't that far-fetched? I mean, why would we believe something like that? In John's gospel, he gives certain miracles that Jesus performed while he was on earth. And then at the end, in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John tells us, "Here's why I've been telling you all of these miracles, signs, as he calls them. John 20, beginning in verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. John says, I've only told you a few of them. There's a lot more like that. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And we love that. We depend on that. We depend on knowing that Jesus is going to give us life. Well, it depends on our knowing that he is the Son of God, not just a great teacher of the past, not a great philosopher, not a great, ethicist. He is the Son of God. He is unique. And if we believe that, then to us, a son has been given, the Son of God. In Matthew 26, as Jesus was being tried by the high priest, Jesus had refused to answer most of the questions. He was silent. And then the high priest finally threw out this question. Matthew 26, beginning in verse 63, Jesus remained silent, and the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, you have said so. And to us, that sounds a little strange. It may sound like he's evading the question. You know, well, that's what you say. But that's not how they understood it. Because as you read on in that passage, the high priest says, you've heard for yourself, this is blasphemy. And the other said, he is worthy of death. They understood Jesus to be claiming to be the Son of God. And that's why they went forward with their plan. This man obviously is claiming to be the Son of God. In fact, that's who he is. But wait a minute, you say, didn't they put him to death? Was he not executed as a common criminal? Yes, but that's not the last word. You remember Romans chapter 1 and verse 4? Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, where Paul tells us this. He says in Romans 1, 4, he was declared to be the Son of God in power. He was declared to be the Son of God in power. How? According to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Jesus, yes, he died on the cross, as many criminals did in that day. But he wasn't a criminal. He wasn't mortal in that sense. He was mortal in the flesh, but he was raised from the dead, thus declaring him with power to be the Son of God. And so again, when you look at that newborn child in the manger in Bethlehem, you think, it's just a baby. Oh no, far more than that. This is the Son of God. The Son of David, yes, that will rule over his kingdom forever, but the Son of God who will save us. And then third, to us, the Son of Man is given. To us, the Son of Man is given. Once more, look at verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A child. This is a child. I mean, why don't you just say God's coming into the world? He's going to come in on a cloud. He's going to descend on Mount Sinai with thunder and lightning and rumbling and smoke. But instead, he comes as a child, as all of us entered this world. And you think, what's this all about? Why is it that to us, a Son of Man is given? Well, Jesus is the Son of Man. There's no doubt about that. And that's significant because we read a prophecy in Daniel chapter 7 about one who was like a Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Listen to what Daniel says. And this is a very significant prophecy. And Jews long wondered, when will this occur? What is it all about? But he says in Daniel 7, verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So again, we've got someone who is like a son of man, and you may think, well, that's true of all that became kings. Son of man is another way of saying somebody in the likeness of humanity, somebody flesh and blood. But this is somebody different. Because again, look, the kingdom will not be destroyed. The dominion will be forever. What king has ever accomplished that other than Jesus? Jesus, the Son of Man. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 and 20, this is one instance of many where Jesus uses that phrase, Son of Man, to refer to himself. That's how he described himself over and over again throughout his ministry on earth. Here on this occasion is what we find. Matthew 8, beginning in verse 19, a scribe came up and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Listen how Jesus responds. Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Now, he did have places to lay his head. What he's saying is, are you ready to accept harsh circumstances? Because as I move from town to town, village to village, I never know where I'm going to be sleeping. Are you ready for that? In other words, I'm going to be like anybody else that lives in the flesh. You would think the Son of God would have a palace, a castle. Servants would be always running behind him. And when he goes out, they take a big tent and set it up. And he's comfortable. He's set up well. But Jesus said, I'm going to be just like you. When you get out and are traveling, you may not know where you're going to lay your head. Are you ready for that? Jesus, the Son of Man. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, after he finished his meeting with Zacchaeus, after Zacchaeus had declared he was a changed man, and Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. Jesus then said this in Luke 19 and 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't say the Son of God came or the Son of David came. The Son of David may have been kingly. The Son of God, oh, we're terrified of God. Don't come close. But when he comes as the Son of Man, he's approachable. He is someone that is like us. And we are drawn to him because he understands us. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. And that's why the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, words that we truly love about Jesus, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has gone through what we go through. And thus when he says, come to me and I'll give you rest, he knows what he's talking about. He knows what it is not to have rest and what it is to have pain and to have rejection and sorrow. Jesus understands. And to us, therefore, the Son of Man is given. What a friend we have in Jesus. And this little child born in a manger, that's the Son of David, the Son of God, but the Son of Man. He came like us so that we could be saved. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, we have this statement about the miraculous birth and the conception of Jesus. And Matthew adds this commentary in Matthew 1, 22 and 23. This took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And don't miss the rest of the verse, which means God with us. You can talk about gifts during this time of year, and what's the best gift you've ever been given? There it is. That's the best gift you've ever been given. God with us. Now, of course, we are guilty of sin, and we can't be in the presence of God, but God came to this earth through his Son so that our sins can be removed, and now in Christ, God is with us. You've been given that gift. The question is, have you accepted it? Have you received that gift? And the way to receive it is to do what the Lord says, to hear the gospel message about Jesus being the Son of God, and then to decide, it's reasonable, it's convincing. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And therefore, because of that, I'm going to turn away from my sins. I'm going to repent of them and live in them no more. I'm going to confess him before others that I do believe he is God's Son, and I will be baptized into him for the forgiveness of my sins. Have you done those things? If not, why not do them today? And if you have done them, are you still faithful? Are you still following him? Do you recognize Jesus as the Son of David, the Son of God, the Son of Man? Such a compelling portrait of Jesus to us, to you. A son has been given. What will you do with him? We pray you'll make the right choice as we stand together and sing.
Jesus is dead to be hallowed, hallowed today.
Be seated.
Seth has come forward this morning asking for us to pray for a couple of situations that are very close to him, and certainly we want to do that. He mentions his niece, Lydia, and he says, I just want to pray that she will grow into the Lord, that she'll be all right, and that she will grow into the Lord. And I think that's a wonderful thing to be concerned about and to pray about, and that's what we're going to do. And then somebody else very close to him has recently been diagnosed with a medical condition, and I won't reveal specifics on that, but the Lord will certainly know, and Seth wants us to be praying for this person, that all will be well for them. That's what prayer is about, praying for God's help for people that we love, that we're concerned about, and so we're happy to go to God with Seth's concerns right now. Let's bow and go to God. Father, again, we praise you and thank you for your greatness, your love and mercy. And Father, thank you for hearing our prayers and for watching over people that we love. We pray, Lord, for Lydia, this niece of Seth's. We pray that she will have what she needs growing up and that she will grow into the Lord. What a wonderful concern that is for Seth to have. And we pray that you'll help all of us to work together to make this happen as much as we're able to make it happen. And Father, we also pray for this loved one that Seth mentions, having a health concern, just diagnosed. And we pray, Father, that you'll be with this person and bless them with whatever needs to be done, whatever medications may need to be taken. We pray this will not become a serious issue, but that it can be managed very well. We know, Lord, there's many among us that have very burdening things on their hearts. Please look upon each heart, Father, and whatever the need may be, bless us, Lord. We know you know how. We trust you, Lord, and we pray that you'll be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
For partaking of the Lord's Supper,
Hail, Lord, hail.
Please prepare your communion sets, and if you do not have one and you'd like to have one, just get the attention of the gentleman in the back and they'll bring you one. As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup, the new covenant, my blood, this do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup.'" Would you pray with me for Jesus' sacrifice? Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that Jesus was willing to come to this earth and to live a life like us and do it perfectly. Father, that he was willing to give his body, which is represented by the unleavened bread, as a sacrifice to be able to resolve the sins of man. Father, I ask that you'd help us to examine ourselves and to eat of this bread in a worthy manner. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you continue to pray with me for the cup? Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the blood that was shed by Jesus. Father, we realize that it's through that blood that we have an avenue to have our sins forgiven and have a hope for a life with you. Father, we'd ask that you would help us to do this in a worthy manner. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Separate from the Lord's Supper, we also have an opportunity to give back such that the work may continue here at Central. Would you pray with me for the offering? Father, we're so thankful for all of our many blessings. Father, we realize that we are so richly blessed. Father, we'd ask that you would help us to give back in a cheerful manner such that the work may continue here. And Father, we also ask that you may guide the decisions of the elders that allocate these funds such that your kingdom may be furthered in the greatest way possible. Father, we thank you for your Son most of all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you bow with me again? Holy Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we thank you for being the true and living God, and we humbly bow before you as we have worshiped you this morning. And we thank you, Father, that we can bring the many prayers to you, not only this morning, but every day. We know there are those round about us who are hurting, maybe spiritually, emotionally, physically, sometimes a combination of all of those. And we know that there are still those that are suffering through the recent disasters. Father, just be with them and help us to minister to them as we have opportunity. Lord, we thank you for being a loving and merciful God. And we thank you for the gift of this very day. Finally, Father, we thank you for your Son. Thank you for the sacrifice that was made for us. And we pray in his name. Amen. The announcements are...